The Doug Wright Show. Doug goes wall to wall when the news is breaking fast on KSL News Radio.
You know, this part of Salt Lake City means a lot to me. And when I'm talking about this part, it's where I work. It's where I spend probably more waking hours than any other place on the planet. This west side of Utah's capital city, Salt Lake City. But above and beyond that, for every working day of my life when I've been in town, I have driven by Pioneer Park. I have spent time in this area in many different ways, different capacities. Last night, I was in downtown Salt Lake City to see the new motion picture Selma, which we will review coming up on Friday, which, by the way, is an amazing motion picture. But I parked just right there by the old Firestone building, walked over to Gateway, went into the Larry Miller theaters there, the Megaplex theaters, and saw the movie. And then at about 9:30 at night, I walk out. I spend so much time in this area. But above and beyond that, when I trace my family history back, when they talk about Pioneer Park, my family, in many regards, although they weren't in those initial companies and didn't encamp there and weren't within the fort and so on, but just a block to the west, that's where one of my old family homesteads, the Love family homestead, was. I've mentioned this before. There was a little family grocery store there, and then they made adobe bricks in the backyard. It's if you know where the overpass is, that kind of takes you over toward the freeway over the railroad tracks there, just off to the south. On the east side of that overpass is where the old family home was. We've only got one picture of it, only one picture that I know of exists there. My great-grandfather was born there. And other relatives lived right around Pioneer Park. So this area is very important to me personally. But to the state of Utah, as I've said over and over, when you think of the three most significant and important squares in Salt Lake City, it's, and I'll let you put them in order, but it's Washington Square, it's Temple Square, and Pioneer Park. Those are, in the early, early white settlement history of Salt Lake City, the three most significant spots in the entire Salt Lake Valley, and certainly in Salt Lake City. So I've been paying very close attention to what is being discussed regarding development in this area. And yesterday we had the chance to talk with Forrest McNabb, who is a coalition leader, the Pioneer Park Coalition, and also vice president of Big D Construction. And I love what they've done with that old Fuller Paint building. And I love what Tony Caputo and others have done, the investment that people have made, the risk that people have taken in trying to bring great and good things into this most historic area of Salt Lake. And today we wanted to spend a few moments talking with DJ Baxter, who is executive director of the Salt Lake City Redevelopment Agency. And Mr. Baxter, welcome to KSL. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Doug. It's nice to be here.
As you may have heard while you were on hold getting ready to go on the air with me, I love this area. I really do. I love the historic nature of it. I have family ties. I work in this area. I spend more waking hours here than any other place on the planet. What is the vision for this area from the RDA?
Well, this is really an adjacent neighborhood immediately adjacent to our downtown. So it has enormous potential. It's proximity to the core of downtown. It's proximity to our world-class public transportation system. Those two things alone, I think, make it unique in its ability to emerge into a really vibrant and vital urban neighborhood,
yeah.
Perhaps with even a more residential character than we might see in the core part of downtown.
You know, I had never really thought about this until Mayor Becker mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, that this is the largest single piece of green space we have in downtown Salt Lake City, because Sugar House Park is outside of downtown, Liberty Park is outside of downtown, Pioneer Park is the biggest area of green space we have in our downtown Salt Lake City area, and I hadn't really ever put that together.
It's true. It's a beautiful park. It's an incredible urban asset, and I think that as Forrest probably indicated when you talked to him and others as well, are really recognizing the value of this gem that's almost in the heart of our downtown. And in other big cities, you'll see some of the most valuable real estate in the urban area is around these first-class parks.
Yeah.
And so what I think we're seeing from a number of private investors is that they think that could be a great urban neighborhood park. In fact, Clearwater Homes just undertook and completed a renovation of the completed the Broadway Park Lofts project, which is just on the north edge of the park. And they created condominiums there, finishing a project that had sort of stalled in years past. Yeah. And those condos have sold like hotcakes. People are very eager to embrace this urban lifestyle and to enjoy the numerous amenities that are provided in downtown Salt Lake City, and in some cases willing to pay an incredible amount of money for that opportunity.
Yeah. Here's the elephant in the neighborhood, and none of us want to be heartless or appear to be heartless, but there are some reality factors, and I've chatted about this with quite a few individuals. I've made this argument for years, and that nobody wants to just shove the homeless off into some place where we don't have to see them. And, you know, we, you know, kind of almost out of a Dickens novel, we just don't want to see it. We just don't want to deal with it. But I've made the argument for years, with this concentration and the way things are structured right now, some of the goals that we set, some of the things, that is an incredible challenge. What do we do about that elephant in the neighborhood?
Well, I think it's really important to start every conversation with recognizing that the homeless themselves are not the problem. Provision of services, the people who need those services really benefit from having them in close proximity. And the three or four or five different service providers have intentionally located together so that the people who need those services have easy access to them. And I think that's incredibly important. The problems come from those who come and prey on the homeless. And frankly, the homeless are often the victim of the same sort of illegal or inappropriate activity that bothers the rest of us. And so there really isn't, in my opinion, any need to displace those services. What will benefit the neighborhood the most, I think, is populating it with a whole array of other activities. And this is something that's been, you know, shown to be pretty successful in other cities as well. So, you know, if we can add 5,000 or 10,000 residents to this neighborhood, and you know, a couple of thousand office spaces or more, all around this node of our incredible regional transit system, I think that alone will go a long way towards sort of dispersing the inappropriate activities there, and frankly, making it a safer place for the people who need those services as well.
I've always said the real test for me is going to be the first time I drive by and I see some young mothers who come out of the Gateway Apartments or out of the area, the lofts that you have described, or across the street in the old Salt Lake stamp building, whatever it might be. And you just see young mothers down there, you know, that are spreading the blanket out and their kids are frolicking through the park. And, you know, we see great activities. Farmers Market is wonderful. Some of the concerts are wonderful. There are events. But where that park can actually become the way Izzy Wagner recalled it, the way Don Gale wrote about it in the biography on Izzy Wagner, you know, where it really is a community gathering place where parents can actually, you know, under their supervision, but send them across the street and play in the park. That's going to be the day I realize we've hit the goal.
I agree, and I think the fact that these activities like the Twilight Concert Series and the Farmers Market are successful in creating that feeling of activation and safety tells me that it's an achievable goal. I think the most sort of widely known example that is applicable here is Bryant Park in New York City, which, as I understand it, very closely resembled some of the challenges we see at Pioneer Park 20 years ago. And purely through programming and activation and a focused level of attention on both maintenance and programming in the park itself, that public space has transformed into a vital urban space that feels comfortable for everybody day and night. And even when there's not some sort of a large programmed activity like a concert happening there, there's so many little things happening that people feel very comfortable there, including, to be fair, including the homeless.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's a safe place for everybody, and the level of care to that space tells people the city cares about the space, the private sector cares about the space, and I can feel comfortable there.
DJ, we're anxious to see what unfolds over the next little while on this. I certainly appreciate you joining us here at KSL, and we'll have some more conversations.
Well, I look forward to that. Thank you for the opportunity, Doug.
DJ Baxter with us, and we appreciate him joining us here at KSL News Radio.